Our other big focus this morning, though, is China. Survivors are being pulled from the rubble in Sichuan province as Chinese authorities intensify the rescue efforts to reach earthquake victims. The death toll stands at more than 20,000 this morning. It's the worst disaster in China in more than 30 years. This is weeks of turmoil for China, preparing for the Summer Olympics, finding itself under the unaccustomed scrutiny of the world media for a whole variety of reasons. The unrest in Tibet, which dominated the headlines last month, has not gone away by any means. Joining us now is Nicholas Kristof from Kashgar, China, correspondent for The New York Times, a person with broad experience in China. Nicholas, thank you very much for joining us.
Sure, I'm delighted.
First of all, can you give us an update on the unrest in Tibet? It's faded from the headlines, but I suspect the situation is as tense as ever.
Yeah, I was able to travel quite widely in greater Tibet, not in the formal Tibet Autonomous Region, but in the parts of Qinghai and Gansu provinces where there are a lot of Tibetans. And I was struck by, first of all, just how widespread the uprising really had been in the last couple of months. Every little town had had some kind of demonstrations by monks and by local people. And secondly, I was maybe not surprised, but struck by just how ruthless the crackdown was afterward. There had been an awful lot of monks arrested in town after town. Almost all of them had been beaten and warned not to talk to foreigners. There's an awful lot of fear in these towns right now.
You know, if we step back for a moment, I mean, if you take Tibet and the earthquake situation, which I know you didn't experience personally, but just looking at the aftermath, even from your perspective there in Tibet, this is an enormously significant moment for China on the world stage, if you combine these two stories.
Yeah, it sure is. I think that, you know, China, when it initially applied for the Olympics, it thought this was going to be a great coming out party and a chance to showcase its really extraordinary achievements. And I think that these days they probably think, you know, why on earth did we ever apply for the Olympics? Because it's also been an immense challenge, and this was supposed to be an auspicious year in the Chinese calendar because of the eight in it, but it sure has not proved to be very auspicious after all. And every critic of China has really tried to use the Olympics as a window because they see vulnerability there and to raise their concerns. And the Tibetans are one good example. There probably would not have been this unrest if it hadn't been for the Olympics. And then, of course, the earthquake is one more challenge for the leadership to take on. And I think maybe one thing that it hasn't been fully explained is that in the Chinese context and in the context of Chinese history, any kind of natural disaster like this takes on special resonance because there was always a view that when a regime was coming to an end, when its mandate of heaven was being withdrawn, that there would be natural disasters. And so it becomes really important for any Chinese government at any point to show that it can handle a disaster and handle it efficiently and quickly. And that's, I think, one reason why the government has really done, I think, very well on it so far.
Nicholas, how do you think the devastation and the travesty and the absolute sadness of the earthquake and its aftermath, does that temper criticism on Tibet? Does that make people step back and temper what they've been saying about the communist government in China?
I think maybe for a brief period it will. And I think it also showcases something that China does pretty well, which is infrastructure and being decisive and doing things quickly. And indeed, Prime Minister Wen Jiabao was on top of this right after it happened, flew to the area immediately. They got it in a way that Japan, after the Kobe earthquake in 1995, just absolutely did not get. But so I think so far they've been able to use this to demonstrate their strength and also to some degree to rally people domestically around the government.
Nicholas,
I think it's a little bit early to reach that judgment. You know, like an earthquake of this magnitude is really hard to get
any government. Certainly a pivotal moment. Nicholas, we're going to have to leave it there. Nicholas Kristof's book that he wrote with his wife, China Wakes, is a spectacular view of China. Certainly China is wide awake in these weeks and months. Thank you, Nicholas Kristof, for joining us from Kashgar, China.
Sure. Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, are politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.